serious question I have to ask. How the hell did you get on this podcast?
Are you at the moment? What's going on? What's going on? Your background at the moment?
Hold on a moment. We've just had a... No, we're okay. Sorry, I thought I had an issue there with my my recording. But I'm at home recording this in the man cave, man study, where I record each and every week the number one podcast on the internet that quite a number of people don't listen to every week. Where are you, Jamie? Where are you at the moment? I can see you look like you're at the footy based on the webcam that I can see.
I am. I'm at Simmons Stadium, actually.
Yep.
I've actually managed to jump into the DeLorean and have gone back. And I've actually found myself at the Geelong versus Melbourne game. I think it was around 4 game by memory or something like that. Is that about right, Chris?
Yeah, I think it was 2000 and back then.
Yeah, 2000 back then.
Yep.
So, Chris, just behind me, what's he read the score to me just behind me there?
What's the score?
Yeah. What's the score?
The score is 37-11, 233 to 7-5, 47. I believe that was the game that Melbourne lost by 186 points, I think it was.
Yeah, what a time to be alive, hey?
Yeah. No, that was great, but you must admit, look, we kicked 7-5. We did kick accurately that day. And
yep,
I think that's probably one of the big takeouts from that particular day, and it really... You know what? I would almost say that was the biggest day in the history of the Melbourne Football Club because that set us to the pillars of success that we're looking at right now.
Well, the reason why, Chris, and I have put up there, it's not just to shit stir you because that's not the kind of bloke that I am.
Poor shit. Anytime you can have a dig at me, you will.
That's not me. That's never been me. I have great respect for you, Chris. I would never take a dig at you where it's not unwarranted. That's not who I am. And all my listeners and all my friends out there would know that's not who I am. I'm a 100% genuine, honest bloke. But the reason why I have gone with this picture today and gone back into the time is because this is the first time you stood me up for a game of footy.
Well, the Melbourne Geelong game.
Well, it was a week later you did, yeah. So
okay.
Melbourne Geelong happened a week later. So it was Easter Sunday where you stood me up, and then the following... I think it was 2 weeks later.
Okay.
He stood me up.
So like the Labor government here in Melbourne, Victoria.
You stood me up. Stood me up.
Build a bridge, mate.
No.
Build a bridge or a tunnel. Get over or get under it because I made it up to you. We did go MCC at the start of the year. I was sat there while your team pumped my team, and I think it's really time to make amends and move on, really. I think we do.
I just think I want to keep this as my background for a while yet.
That's okay, because you may have won today's battle, but I will win the war next week if once we get the scoreboards. Because that was just a normal run-of-the-mill game, unlike a grand final, which had a very similar scoreboard. And much like that game, it was over at quarter time as well. Let's move on.
Okay,
what's some of the news that we're kicking into this week?
No, this is not footy related, but this is maybe because I'm a dad. I've become a bit old, a bit angry at the world, slightly every year getting more and more jaded. But if the Easter fuel is not one of the biggest rorts and it isn't price fixing, I do not know what is. Like, fuck me dead. It's gone up 10 cents a litre. In 4 days.
Don't worry, it'll go up. No, well, that's the normal jump. You wait till it gets a couple of days, I reckon Good Friday might even spike again, 20, 30 cents depending. Look, it's not as much of a rip-off as a bottle of water at Etihad Stadium or a pie at Etihad Stadium or anything at Etihad Stadium.
Yeah, but you know your price. Every year they go, oh, this is just the cycle of when fuel's expensive. Really? Fucking Easter weekend? I don't think so.
The fuel's already in the tanks. And I'm tipping, where do they get the petrol from?
Oh,
or where do they get the oil from?
Saudi Arabia.
Do they believe in Easter?
What do you mean?
I don't know, but do they believe in Easter?
I don't know.
That reason is bullshit, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. So, petrol petrol stations, you can get stuff too, because I feel the rort, mate. I feel the rort.
It's a rip.
It's almost as much of a rort as getting into swimming pools these days. I don't know how much it costs you. $6 to go to a local swimming pool these days.
True, true.
Spend a couple bucks more, you can build one in your own backyard.
All right, so that's where I'm at.
So you got that off your chest?
I got off my chest.
Okay, was that an entree sized?
Well, it's only because I'm due to put a bit of fuel in my tank this week. So that was just my current gripe.
Okay, so that was more of an intro or an entree sized fry pan, was it?
Yes, it was. Oh, just a little one. Okay, first up.
A teaser. What's the first one?
Proper news. Okay, this Falau business, the Twitter post he did, all of that, whatever. I don't talk about rugby. I think rugby's dumb, so I don't care about it. But it's come out in the wash of it all that Ablett liked Israel Folau's post.
Yep.
Come on, people. It's bullshit. Don't drag Ablett into this. Most of these sports stars have bots these days that automatically like and link to other professional sports accounts. They like their posts. It's just part of the backslapping bot culture that what happens on the interwebs.
Yep.
Leave them out of it, surely.
Well, I think there's two sides to this equation. I think the first thing is that what Folau said, now, he's a very religious person, so what he said might be in line with his religion. Now, whether I agree with it or not, I'm staying out of that one completely.
Yeah.
From an Ablett perspective, we know that he's very religious as well. So maybe that was in line with his religious beliefs.
Yeah.
But once again, we've gone and said that Ablett has supported exactly what Folau said. Maybe he was just agreeing with the context, but maybe the wording was a little bit rough.
I just think people are bored. People are bored, Chris.
But you know what? People don't have lives these days. If there's nothing going on in their backyard, they'll look over the fence and pick on somebody else.
Yeah.
The day, you know, these things, I've got a mobile phone in my hand at the moment just looking up some stuff. And, you know, you could sit here and just, you know, news gets refreshed at a thumb swipe these days.
Yeah.
There's no patience. And that's one of the reasons why the footy show is completely fudged up these days, is because when they used to be newsbreakers, they were that. They were newsbreakers. Unless there is an EMP, which is an electromagnetic pulse, goes off.
Yeah.
And renders every electronic device useless except for 9:30 when the footy show would go live in the old days. Mm. That's the only way something can be get quiet.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you've got people breaking stories left, right, and center. It's all clickbait.
Yep.
It's all, you name it, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
advertisers
Snapchat.
Get paid all, by exactly. Clickbait. Yeah.
You can't keep anything quiet these days.
Yeah.
And if you do try and keep something quiet, the risk that you run isn't getting more views.
Yeah.
It's the risk that somebody else is going to steal that from you. And people can't do that these days. There is a lack of patience out there in society, a lack of accountability. The days of the slow burn news article have completely gone.
And
unfortunately, what was today's news is tomorrow's fish and chip wrapper. That's how quick, but that's how quick it goes.
Yeah.
And news, like I said, you can read an article, swipe your finger and something else has to be up there. People want too much, too soon. And when it's a slow news week, they're going to come up with this crap. And so I don't agree with either of them. I don't want to get into the political side of things and the religious side of things.
Yeah.
But get off their backs.
Yeah.
Mind you, though, Folau's a flog for writing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was warned already once.
Yeah.
And did he have to say that in the public forum? That's the thing. He didn't have to. There's no reason why he can't say those sort of things at his church or his group of followers, mates, however you want to call them.
But
in a public sector, you are opening yourselves up for the type of ridicule and retribution that he received. And it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
Absolutely. The other fake news this week is... This week, it was just a little side article. BT has got into himself a little bit of trouble for saying that the Kangas don't deserve their Good Friday game because they can't fill a stadium and how crap the game was last year. Once again, people calm down, whatever.
Okay, BT, this is the issue. Now, this is the issue with commentators. Let's rewind the clock 12 months ago. This is Brian Taylor, and I'm saying that North Melbourne deserve the Good Friday game. We should have two marquee clubs. Let's just throw maybe Essendon and Carlton playing this day. And that's the issue, is you got to give every club an opportunity to build something.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, the football public, and you're it, and I'm it, are sick and tired of the same clubs being forced down our throats.
Yeah.
If you want to go along those lines, my friend, Richmond and Carlton does not deserve to play the opening game of the season anymore. If you want to go down that, oh, they've got a great supporter base. Big freaking whoop-de-doo. You can put the Fitzroy North thirds on against Richmond and you'd pack the stadium out. It's the opening game of the season. Carlton are not going to win the next one for the next five years.
No.
But why do we keep it? Oh, it's tradition. Well, you know what? Leave North Melbourne there as tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Let them create some tradition and stop changing the teams around. I can't believe the Western Bulldogs got it removed. I can't believe St Kilda have had it removed and they give it to Essendon. Haven't they got enough marquee games? Christ almighty, they might as well build their own marquee. It shits me how the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah, and I think it's unfair because North were the original Friday night game team.
Oh, they got that stripped out of their pants, didn't they?
Yeah, but you know, originally there was no Friday night football. It was just a Saturday. It was just a Saturday thing. But now, they brought it in, and I think they deserve their spot on a Friday night.
Damn right that they do. And I don't give a shit if it's the marquee game. So based on that theory, Anzac Day should be shared amongst many teams now. Theoretically, but no, that's a tradition. Well, you know what? North Melbourne wanted Friday night football. Yep. They built it and then got the heave-ho. And then we put Carlton on five times during the year and ratings plummet because no one gives a shit about Carlton, even the players. Then you've got they wanted Good Friday. Same thing. How much longer will it take until somebody says, well, you know what, North aren't that crash. I'd give us a go.
Yeah.
That's crap. It gives me the SH1TSs.
Yep.
Or for so, ones who can't spell shits.
So BT, is he, I think he's entitled to his opinion, but I think he's also got a couple whack back and I think he did.
Yeah, but you know what? Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one, but no one wants to see it.
It says two people making a podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No. And that's why the listeners are stagnating. No. Get around. Promote Lace Out. It's an honest podcast. None of this hoity-toity, forty crappity-dappity. We say it how it is from the heart because that's how we like our football, Jamie. How do we like it?
Lace Out.
That's exactly right. All right. You got something new about Sam Wiedemann. Has reportedly asked a struggling Melbourne club for a pay rise. Sam Emery revealed that the 21-year-old approached the Demons with a request of $650,000 per season. Can I ask what time of night it is? What time is it? Is it middle of the evening? Because I'm having a nightmare reading that. He is not worth $650,000. He's not worth half that. He's played 24 games. He's had one really good game. Yes, it was in a final. He has got the most dangerous word in his repertoire. Potential. Mm-hmm. Potential's only getting to get you so far. Start delivering, my friend.
He hasn't done anything this
Clayton
season.
Oliver, there's 650 large. Angus Brayshaw, 650 large. Okay? Maxi Gawn, 650 large. Neville Jetta.
Come on.
650 large. You don't understand. If you are a Melbourne supporters listening to this, leave a comment on the Facebook page or the Twitter page. He is worth.
You guys wanted him gone 4 seasons ago.
I know, but he was playing in the wrong position.
No, he
was rookie listed, brought back on, and he has been a revelation. If you get any, he has the nickname of Lord Neville.
Well, tell you what, he did some stopping last year in the final, didn't he? He stopped those West Coast boys. Woo-hoo, he stopped them.
The only thing that could stop Fremantle in the first 2.5 quarters was the Fremantle doctor. Nothing could stop them at all. And you know what? Collingwood did a good job stopping them as well on grand final day. All right. So my point is,
what's your point?
That is a joke. If you want the big dollars, you need to start performing.
Yeah.
And you've played 24 games, my friend. That's not even $10,000 worth a game. Gary Lyon said it beautifully. Give the guy a $300,000 contract and incentivize the absolute bejesus out of it. Then you can earn the big bucks. Well, but that's the problem these days, is that the guaranteed contract thing is people resting on their laurels. And, you know, the thing is that he knows that, well, Hogan's gone. You haven't got another power big forwards such as McDonald. I know you've got him, but besides that, who else?
Yeah.
But Melbourne know that there's clubs who'll go for him. So it's a win-win. If he wants to stay, great, but he's got to take the cut. The flip side to that, though, is if he wants to go and one club wants to take
him guys, if you guys lose Sam Weidman, though, you literally have no forward. You realise that, don't you?
Oh, it's going to make it difficult to have that two-pronged attack. Yeah, definitely.
What two-pronged attack? Well, you reckon Tom McDonald's the other one? Oh, come on.
Oh, what? What do you mean?
Tom McDonald was only good because Jesse Hogan was there.
Okay, is that right?
Tom McDonald's like a fourth-string forward.
Okay. And then on bass guitar, which has four strings, it makes beautiful music.
But it's nothing without the lead.
Exactly. But my friend, it is the midfield who creates the beat, who's the drummer that sets the tone and the pace. All I'm trying to say is that Tom McDonald is a good forward. He kicked 50 last year. When was the last Port Adelaide player to kick 50 goals?
Taking the third best defender. Welcome.
Who took the other two?
Jesse Hogan did.
He played up the ground. Did you watch many Melbourne games last year?
When I could.
Oh, what do you mean? Or what they weren't.
I saw a lot of Jesse Hogan just flap around like one of those car sales bloody blow up inflatable dolls at the front of their things.
Yeah, like they were flopping going around, up and down. Yeah. And you know what? Those inflatable things, guess what they were made out of?
Tell you what,
Benny they were made Brown out of the tarps that were over the chairs at the Port Adelaide games for so many years. So stick that up your ass.
Why is that?
Sam Weidman, mate, you're dreaming if you think you're worth $650 a year.
Correct.
That's bullshit. And yep. Could you imagine Todd Viney and Josh Marnie who look after the contracts when the manager, and apparently he's got a brand new manager as well too, so it's not just him saying that, it was the manager coming in and saying, so Sam Weidman, $650. Yeah, we'll think about it. And then apparently they had to call the ambulance because both Todd Viney and Josh Marnie went down with concussions as they hit the floor when they fell off their chair laughing.
That would probably be a believable scenario.
Yep, exactly right. It'd be like Sam Pelpepper asking for, any type of credibility because he hasn't got any because he's a spud.
Right, God, you're so nasty, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm so nasty. When you ever go to my channel, I'll go at yours. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather have Cale Morton than Sam Pelpepper. good stuff, right. Good stuff. Hey, tell me about his AFL soccer. What's going on here?
Well, did you manage to catch much of the Collingwood Brisbane game at all?
Collingwood Brisbane?
Collingwood Bulldogs. You did watch it? Did you watch the game?
I watched the last quarter and a half, and I didn't mind it from the closeness perspective.
Yeah. From the closeness perspective.
That probably be the only thing that was good about it.
Yeah. So, but just to give what this game was actually like, watching it for the non-football people, if you're coming from the world game, you're coming from soccer. It was soccer with AFL players on an AFL field with AFL rules.
So it was basically AFLX in reverse.
Oh, God. It was just kicking backwards and across and trying to switch the ground and blah, 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 blah. There were 518 uncontested possessions between the two clubs.
Oh, that sounds a lot like Geelong stats in the 2007 AFL Grand Final.
Now, I'm not saying that other teams don't have a high uncontested possession game, but geez, it's hard to watch when two teams do it. Holy moly. Yeah. That was hard.
I think the tough thing about football these days is exactly that. Like, my guest interview that I had tonight, should I break to everybody who it is now, or should we just hold it off a little bit later?
Let's hold off a little bit later.
Well, he actually said that football these days is they're not recruiting footballers anymore. And he knows quite a number of people in the industry and quite a number of the recruiters, etc. And the dilemma that they have is exactly that. Do they get footballers or do they get athletes who can be stoppers?
Yep.
And then when we start going down that track, we are in a lot of trouble.
Yep. Actually, my father-in-law said something interesting, Peps, about that. Because I was talking to him about this game. And he goes, what's interesting is he said that the reason why the uncontested possessions are with these new 6-6 rules and all of that is that coaches and the teams are afraid to kick to any contest now because the game is so open the other way that they can get damaged on a turnover so much faster than what it once was.
But the game is not open. And I'm starting to think about this 6-6-6. I understand the theory behind it. Once the ball hits the ground, the 66 is over it.
Correct.
Completely correct. And I don't actually think it's the 666. We just need to leave footballers play like footballers. And if you think about it, let's look at Carlton, all right? And I know we're going to touch on Carlton a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And I look at Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlton, in my eyes, they've picked up some real... They've got Sam Walsh, Charlie Curno, yep. Paddy Cripps, yep. Paddy Dow, Harry Mackay, McGovern.
Yeah.
Weedering. These are good. Daisy Thomas. I know he's on his... you've also got Murphy, Simpson.
Petrescu Seaton,
right? These are guys that were drafted really high in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't get drafted at all if you cannot play the game. If you can play the game, you're going to get picked up.
Yeah.
What I think is the issue is that they drill so much of this system that they're too scared to make a mistake. Their arms are shackled.
Mm.
And they can't play the way that they were brought in as footballers.
Yeah.
And the way that they dominated in the under-18s. Now, mind you, now they're playing with men. It's a different story.
Yep.
You have a look at what Brisbane have done. It looks like Brisbane have got the structure, but they're allowed to play with that freedom.
Yeah.
And when they play with that freedom, they did it in the first 3 weeks. They played some amazing football. They are a young team.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to sometimes go, hey, you know what? Just play football, guys. I would love a coach to go out and say, you know what? We got pumped today, but I just let them go out and play football. I said, stuff the structures, go out and play football.
That happened.
When did that happen?
2013 and 14 with Melbourne.
No, we couldn't play anything.
He had no coach. Oh no, he had Mark Neal.
Yeah, we're not going down there. Yep.
And that's when you don't have a game structure or style. That's what happens.
Yeah, but we were shithouse. That was shithouse, and that's an anomaly. But these guys can play. They've got a good bunch of kids and players on that list. Just let them play football.
Yeah.
Get them in to do what they do. It's like when companies hire people, they go through this interview process, they get them in the door and then change the way that they work to fit the company's way of doing things. Like, what did you get the person in there in the first place for? It's a waste of time.
Yep.
Let them play a bit more football. They'd be a lot more direct. They'd be a lot more flary.
Yeah.
That's one way to get the scoring up. Mm-hmm. And also, if they kick backwards, it's play on.
Yeah.
None of this kick back, take a mark, stop the clock. You kick it backwards, play on.
So you've now changed your ideas on messing with the game.
But I do think the 666 is a great idea. But I think to start quarters off, I like it.
Yeah.
But once the ball's bounced and that first stoppage occurs, 666 is useless.
Yeah.
Oh, and we'll still give more warnings. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah,
cut the warnings out. Like it happened at the end of the St Kilda game on the weekend. There was a warning given with a couple of minutes to go. It just slowed everything down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's shithouse. So I do like 666 still, especially for when it's, like I said, the Carlton Gold Coast game, mind you. How good are they travelling at the moment? Even though it wasn't the greatest quality game, they're beating who's put in front of them.
Hey, but that's what we have to do.
Hey, they kicked the goal with 18 seconds to go. There was 18 seconds still left on the clock, and you know that. It's 6-on-6 down forward. That's what I like about 666.
Yes. Yep.
But
yep.
Once the ball hits the ground and that ball up, it's no different to how it was. So it hasn't freed up the game at all.
No, but relatable then on the other news bit is AFL scoring. It's completely dried up. Only two teams this week managed to crack the 100 points, and they were Melbourne and Essendon. Last week, only four teams managed to score over 100 and five teams the week before that. So... just so you know where we're coming from in terms of why it's so this same round in 2008, seven teams broke the 100 points.
Yep.
And in round four, 2017, had also seven teams break the 100-point barrier. So I guess the question is, what happened to the JLT free-flowing 666 high-scoring shootout games?
Because it's exactly that. It's JLT. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but JLT number two, though?
Doesn't mean anything.
Number two is still pretty good.
It's a practice match. It's a glorified practice match. It's not worth points. It doesn't mean anything at the end of the year. Coaches were holding cards close to their chest.
Yeah.
That's all it was. As soon as the big boys came into play, which was the AFL season, this stuff happens again. Everything goes back into the negative, the defensive yep. side of things. The defensive side of things is destroying the game.
Yep. Do you think so look, I'm on with this one, where I'm at with this one here is the game will sort it out. Yeah, it's low scores, but
The game won't sort it out. The AFL will come in and step in and try and change it again.
Yeah. Well, I reckon if we get to round 14 and we're still getting, you know, the whole round scores are sort of 77, 78, 67, you know, that sort of low scoring, then maybe look at it. But until then, we've got another 10 weeks or two there.
I think I said there was something like, what was the number I said a few weeks ago? 24 rule changes in the last 5 years?
Yep.
Like, that's more changes than, that's more costume changes at a Katy Perry concert. that's ridiculous. 20. What's soccer done? Soccer hasn't changed the way that they do things at all, except for the passing back and the video assisted ref, which is crap anyway, because they still can't get that right. But outside of that, there hasn't been really any rule changes.
No.
We just do not let things work themselves out. Like, come on. They got a group together last year. You have a look at the people that they got onto that committee, which was the faces of the game or the flavor of the game or the cult. They had TV hosts, presidents, coaches. Why don't you just get some people who actually really know about the game?
Yeah.
And make the changes and not submit them to the AFL who end up signing them off. That the biggest issue is that the AFL should promote the game, but the rules should be handled by a completely different arm. Has nothing to do.
Well, there are professional, like full-time consultants around the world who are just nothing but game rule consultants. That's what they do. They design games. They that's their full-time job. They get paid a lot of money to do it. Not like, as you said, not ex footballers and politicians and celebrities making comments.
You know, the last high-priced ticket consultant the AFL had in, and it was a complete fizzer, stuffed everything up, Meatloaf. I reckon he'd have more of an idea what to do with the game than some of these so-called experts. Like, apparently one bloke from the project came on and he was part of it. What would he know?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like me coming on and giving political advice on the project.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not qualified to do it. Just because you support the game doesn't mean that you know anything about it. Haven't you worked that out over the first 33 editions of this podcast? Unbelievable. But, you know, like the Darling River is at its lowest point right now. I reckon AFL scoring is getting close to that.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. But you know what? What are they going to do to make them score?
Yeah.
Let the game go.
Yeah. I reckon if they run out an extra 15 metres on top of what they've run out of the goal square already, Pips, that'll really open it up. What do you think? What about if they run? What if they run to the 50? So they can run out from a behind, and they can run all the way to the 50 and then kick it.
No.
What do you think?
No, it's bullshit.
And then,
it's a stopping.
And then 10 meters either side, all the way to the 50 is a protected zone. If you run in that 50, then you get another 50 given to the fullback. So then you're kicking a goal from a kick out.
Can I ask a question? And this is a really serious question I have to ask. How the hell did you get on this podcast?
No,
it's crap.
That's good. So you can run it to the 50, and then when the players party the seat.
Once again, the issues that we have nothing to do with stoppages. Everything that they've been doing so far is stoppage related.
All right. Well, let's make it. Let's do another
idea. Deliberate out of bounds is a farce.
that actually hasn't been paid much this year, though.
They're too busy getting people in the protected zone and asking the ruckman, so you're the 2 6-foot-8 guys going for the ball, but are you going in the ruck? Like, for fuck's sake, pull your
All right. I've got another idea. So this time you have all of your players, right? But instead of contesting like a regular football game, they break the field up into black boxes and white boxes. And each player of that team is assigned a box that they have to start their game in. Now, if you're a fullback, you can only move forward 2 squares at a time. How's that sound?
That's the sound of silence there. Just thinking, I'm looking for a new co-host next week, I think. Yeah. Oh, we might as well.
Chris, I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to generate some ideas for the game.
Here's an idea. Let the game go. Let them, if they kick backwards, it's not a markets play on. That'll stop all this chipping around, and it means that you can put pressure on the people down back. Hey, here's another one. Just play it forward in the inside 50. How about playing some one-on-one? How about make a mistake and not get raked over the coals for it?
All right, I got another idea.
Can we just move on? Here's an
idea. One more idea. Every second week, so every alternate week, is you have to use the opposite side of your body week. Therefore, you would have a high turnover game and hopefully high scoring because players can't switch the ball 50, 60 metres over.
But the issue that you're going to have, if you're somebody like, I don't know, Michael Hibbard, who doesn't have a right foot, it's very easy to tell. But if, let's just say it was somebody like Sam Mitchell, how could you tell which is his right foot and which is his left foot?
Simple. You tuck the arm into the jumper, so you only have one sleeve, one arm out the jumper.
All right, can we move on? You're a dick. All right. we're going to do Richo Watch, Chris, but that segment has fallen flat.
Chris, I have great respect for you. I have great respect for you, and you are just like trying to wreck my ideas.
Obviously, you're trying to get listeners to turn off and listen to Ugly Phil on the Triple M Hot 100 or something along those lines. AFL Mitch Committee working. What did you say about that?
Well, I've just got a question about it. Maybe last night's case actually went in favour, but three cases have gone up to the tribunal, and they were and had one already. So that was Mason Cox got overturned. Dustin Martin got 2-1, and Luke McDonald were challenged his one match ban for a late hit in a marking contest when he knocked out Chase Jones. Now, thank God that one. Well, I don't know. I think you probably have a different opinion, but that one there, he did miss a game because Chase Jones was knocked out. Now, McDonald claimed that the head contact was completely incidental to the marking contest, but actually when Chase Jones was falling, he got whiplash, and that's why he got knocked out, not as a result of the punch in the side of the head. You've seen the incident?
I haven't seen the incident, but I've seen enough football incidents to determine what it probably was.
Your bullshit meter?
Huh?
You've got a very tuned bullshit meter.
Oh, I've got the bullshit meter, mate. First of all, there's only one type of whiplash that I like, and that is Whiplash by Metallica from the Kill 'Em All album. That's the first whiplash I like.
I thought you were going to say the movie with the drum.
The what?
The drumming movie.
Yeah, I like that whiplash too.
You know, he's like, not on my beat.
Yeah, he's not on my beat. All right. The AFL committee, they're not on our beat. But I've had a bit of a think about this after reading your during our production meeting.
Yeah.
I think the Mason Cox one, I agree with.
Because you don't like those little ones.
The guy, he's 7'9", and the guy ran into him. Like, it happens. It's a 360-degree contact sport. So I can see why that happened.
Yeah.
Dusty still should have got 2 weeks because he bowed a guy in the head.
Yeah.
This one I haven't seen. The issue is, and I don't actually think it has anything to do with the hit itself.
You're saying it's incident report.
I think it should be the incident report because that's what we used to report on, is that, you know, striking.
Yeah.
But we're taking the medical report into it. So theoretically, I could shoot a gun at you. But if I miss, it's not that bad. But if I graze you, I'll get 1 week. If I puncture a lung, then I'm in some deep trouble. But shouldn't it be what the intent of what happened was? If he was genuinely making a spoil, he was genuinely making a spoil. Now, I haven't seen it. Yes, it's a shame that he's been given a week. But we're having cheap shots being thrown, which apparently we were stamping out this year.
Yes, I remember that conversation you and I had.
Yeah, they're not stamping that out. And I think there's more intent in someone whacking a guy in the guts than what he did.
Okay.
So that's where I don't agree. We've really got to go back to, if we stripped it all the way back and go, what was the intent of this action?
Yeah, they were saying he's late. They were saying he was late to the contest.
Certainly. Okay. So he was late to the contest.
Mm-hmm.
So he was late to the contest. Did it deem a week?
He knocked the player out.
Did the head contact, was that what caused the whiplash, or was it when the guy went down that caused the whiplash?
But I know the angle you're working here, but you can't go back to the 90s when players were getting ear massages every mark they took. That's not what I'm saying.
I think what I'm trying to say is that we really need to have a look at what is the intent of the action, and then take the medical report into it. Look, he probably deserved the week. Like, there are ones that you're going to get a week for.
Yeah.
But the one that I don't get was Dangerfield smacked the bloke in the stomach, didn't he?
Yep. Because how are you going to have the AFL Brown like not to the two best players in the league? Peps, we also have a corrupt system here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a smoke and
mirrors organisation.
Yeah. They want the best players playing, and that's about it. That's where it's, you know, you smack the bloke, the guy's gone down, and you're telling me, oh, incidental, the force wasn't enough to deem a report. He's gone down on his haunches. What happened?
Yeah.
Like a budgie fart in his shorts and... Yeah, I don't think so. So I think the match committee is working. I just sometimes don't agree with their judgments, and I think there is definitely a bit of bullshit. Exactly.
Cool. We're doing fry pan?
Yeah, let's do. Hey, you've got the fry pan this week, haven't you? You're getting in the kitchen.
And this kitchen here has been left amazingly sparkling well from our first ever Master Chef. Master Chef?
Yeah, I would say he was a guest chef.
He's the first guest chef, so there has to be something more given to Josh.
Blonthal guy, Curtis Stone like.
Well, give him a nickname for the podcast so we know who we're talking about, like as recognition for that amazing.
I would say Filet Mignosh.
Filet Mignosh?
Filet Mignosh. So Filet Mignosh, welcome. Filet. You are now in the fry pan cupboard of fame. Pantry of fame. You are in the pantry of fame.
Filet Mignosh, okay.
Filet Mignosh. Like, remember that.
All right.
So, Filet Mignosh, right? It's like Flaming Josh, but Filet Mignosh.
All right, Josh Raymouth, that is your name now on the podcast moving forward.
So, you got in the fry pan this week is you drop a bit of butter into it, and I can hear it sizzling. There's the sizzle. Who we got in the fry pan?
So, this week, my fry pan is actually all about Carlton supporters. I think everyone who works for Carlton just needs to get a bit of a grip. Because we know that money can't fix everything. And that's why we love the AFL. Unlike the other league in England, which money can buy everything in EPL. Yes, this club has had a lot of good young picks through its list in the last 5 years. But that doesn't mean that you're going to have success straight away. I can remember when GWS was crap. Can you remember that, Chris?
Yeah, I can remember why they were crap.
Yeah.
They were crap for a reason. They were a brand new club.
Brand new.
Brand spanker straight out of the culinary school of the AFL.
Yeah. Now, I remember because Port Adelaide was unfortunately the first team to lose to them, and we actually lost a coach out of it.
A quick Peps fact.
Yes.
Port Adelaide were the first team to lose to both the expansion clubs. So you've got the record of losing by the highest margin in an AFL grand final. And something that'll never be taken. The first person to lose to both expansion teams.
Yeah, they're also the first club to not make the finals from 11-4. And also the first club to lose a game at Etihad Stadium or Telstra Stadium. So, yeah, we've done pretty well. All right. So, if we look at GWS, they are now a formidable team. And they have had a group of players that have now played 100 games together. And they're all extremely talented. So let's not judge Carlton too quick. I reckon this season they will still win their 4 or 5 games, and that's not a bad result. Have the best rookie in Sam Walsh. They have the Curnow brothers, who are freaks. Give them a chance, and I can give Bolts a chance. Taking on that role was, I believe, probably the hardest job in the AFL. Carlton members had been sold lies about being close to premiership window for many, many years with Malthouse and all of that. Bolts had to go in there and rebuild the list. He had to redefine the culture of the club and then regain the trust amongst the players and fans. Yes, every year since 2016 as coach, Carlton have won less and less. But before you go and judge, let's also look at who they drafted. From 2016, they've had basically a new team onwards. So if we look at the first year in 2016, they brought in Sam Kerridge, Lockie Plowman, Jacob Wiedering, Harry McKay, Charlie Curnow, just to name a few in that 1 year. In 2017, they drafted in Marchbank, Podrevski, Cam Paulson, and Zach Fisher. 2018, they got Paddy Dow and Lockie O'Brien. And 2019, they got Sam Walsh, who was just signed to a new long deal until 2022. So that's 13 changes to the actual playing 22 without even going deeper into the lists. More than 50% of that list has played less than 100 games together. So what I'm saying is trust in Bolts and what is happening down there. And let's look at this team towards the end of the year and not get too hung up on the start of the year.
That's tasty. And I agree wholeheartedly. I'll ask you the question, give me a current coach in the AFL that would be able to get a better result out of that team right now.
None.
So why would you get rid of him? All right, I'll ask the next question. Who would be the next best assistant coach who could do a better job than Bolton at the moment?
None.
So are we throwing the baby out with the bathwater? I think, like I said before, supporters are just impatient.
Yeah.
They're just impatient.
I said there as well, I reckon this was a harder job than the Gold Coast Suns because everyone knew the Gold Coast Suns were crap. Everyone knew what cards were on the table for the Gold Coast Suns. Bolton came into a club that believed that they were the Manchester United of the AFL, where in fact they're like the Watford. They're like Division 2. They're like Division 3, really. Everything had to change in that club. And I think you've just got to let this wash out because in a couple of years' time, we're going to have ourselves a better picture on where this club's really at.
I think also if you have a look at it from the perspective of other teams that have gone through this, I know my team have gone through it.
Mm-hmm. I know my team refuses to go through this.
Yeah, your team refuses to go through this. Hawthorn, you got to remember, Hawthorn were really bad 2007, 2006, 2007, those early type of days. And then they made some big drafting selections. Lewis, yep. Hodge was already there, but Buddy, Jared Roughhead.
Yep.
Shields, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. So they built that group up. Geelong did it. Like, do we have to go through Geelong's selections? Mm-hmm. They were at one stage going to get rid of Bomber Thompson 2006, and what they do come out in 2007.
Just won a premiership, I think.
Just won a premiership and one of the greatest teams ever. Look how bad Brisbane were for so many years before the year 2000.
Yeah.
Okay. Great football teams are like great red wine. You've got to give it time to age and you've got to give it time to breathe.
Yeah.
Because if you open it up too early, instead of that beautiful, warm taste of red wine goodness, you're going to get vinegar.
Yeah.
And we don't need that. Carlton don't need that. Nobody needs that.
No, I agree. I just think it's just way too. These players are still so young. They're so raw.
Yeah. No, that's good. That was a good one. That's a really, really tasty fry pan. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. So good job there, my friend. Now, a couple of things that I just wanted to quickly wrap up on. Based on last week's games, once again, what's hot and what's not, or what we liked and disliked. Mm-hmm. Adelaide are putrid.
Yep.
They couldn't win an intra club at the moment. They've got no idea. They are a shade of the team where they were 2 years ago, which made a grand final.
For sure.
Geelong just keep going strength to strength. Like I really thought they'd be going the complete opposite, but they've just, whatever they're doing at the moment, like John Law said, when you're on a good thing, stick to it.
Yep.
Hey. I've made a mistake, actually. Melbourne. Do you know what I've done? Hold on. I've made a mistake. I was reading out the round three results. Doesn't really make much of a difference, I don't think.
You've forgotten the thing. Yeah. Melbourne.
We're going.
Melbourne.
Mate. So I'll ignore that part. I'll cut that part out.
All right.
So what's hot and what's not? The D's having their first win, and I didn't even watch the game. They make me too nervous watching them on TV. In 2.5 quarters in, I had a reason for it. But they played a little bit of their old football. They play their contested footy, and I think they kicked 12 of the last 13 goals, which is amazing. And Nathan Jones, he stood up. Isaac Heaney, you are a gun. I'll take you at Melbourne any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Collingwood got along the line. Collingwood, once again, I don't know how to read them at the moment. They've got a great midfield.
Yeah.
The Doggies are playing a bit more spirited football.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to see. Really like Norton, mm-hmm. except when he tries to take marks on the goal line.
I missed that.
Oh, what a spud. Hey, how good was GWS down at Geelong?
Yeah.
Winning down in Geelong is hard enough. Winning by 4 points after your captain and your spiritual leader's gone down the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. I've got so much time for GWS and see what they, yeah, start, I don't mind they it. Are starting to look on them. If you have a look at the number of players they've got out who can come in,
yeah,
anybody would love to have that sitting in the wings. Yep. Essendon did the number on Brisbane. I didn't really see it coming to that. Like, that was a 10-goal victory.
Yeah.
So did it say more about Essendon or more about Brisbane? Team can only be up for a certain number of weeks. I don't know.
I think it says nothing about Brisbane. I think that was just an abnormal result.
Yep.
Essendon, I just think that was just a great game and Tipper just put on a clinic.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
Seven in the end. I think seven goals in the end.
Kick seven, which is great stuff. Yeah, Brisbane will bounce back from that. They're still riding high.
Yeah, I think so.
You happen to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory against the Tigers, who virtually had everybody out and had their reserves team in.
Here's a confession. I actually didn't watch a second of this game. This game is still sitting on my Foxtel recorded list, and I'm not going to watch it.
I'll give you an idea. Hit delete. And move on. And anyone who...
To the people who are texting me, they can get stuffed.
Did Filet Ming Josh get onto you?
No. I had another couple others getting stuck into me, father-in-law included.
Yeah, gotta love a good father-in-law.
Yeah.
But yeah, for all the people who said that Tom Lynch was a waste of money, you got that one wrong.
Mm.
North Melbourne beating the Crows. Actually, I could have kept that last one that I made a mistake on. I could have kept it for the simple fact that they did the same thing. They've lost to North Melbourne.
Yeah. Both teams are running pretty ordinary at the moment.
Yeah, they're not great. By the way, North Melbourne, Ben Brown, here's a tip, AFL. If you want to maybe speed the game up a little bit, here's an idea. How about you give people 30 seconds?
That rule's gone, hasn't it? That rule's gone.
No, that rule's there, but you've got 30 seconds to start your run-up.
Yep.
Now, the only thing missing from a Ben Brown set shot is the umpire taking Ben Brown's jumper, standing and signalling to the man on the mark he's coming over the wicket.
Yeah.
Because he reminds you of Malcolm Marshall coming from the Stanley Street end. It's ridiculous. Hey, West Coast, they're looking dangerous again. Really low scoring game over there. So was it the pressure of the game or was it just the way football is at the moment?
I thought Freo were going to get blown out of the water, but they came back.
Yep.
Good on Freo.
Gonna love Gold Coast. Did you watch the last bit of that Gold Coast game?
When you had the two most experienced players in the team not standing on the goal. Yeah, that was good.
That was fantastic. Well, it made me it was smile. Great. But I love Gold Coast. I say it every week. I just love it when the teams who just get smacked around the ears come out and do what they do. They're playing with some real passion at the moment.
Do you know what though?
I love it. And tell you what, Sexton. besides the porn star mustache, that is a guy who can play football. And Melbourne, yep. get into signing up Jack Martin, please. I would love him roaming around our forward line. He is gold, Jerry. Stewie Jew's got them on the right path.
Next week, I actually want Carlton to win. I don't know who they're playing. Who they're playing next week? Carlton have got Western Bulldogs. I want Carlton to have a win. I just want them to have a win.
Hold on. Can we get to the last game?
Oh, yeah, sure.
St Kilda beating Hawthorn.
That's two teams I don't care about. I did love that.
You know what? St Kilda are going to lose two in a row this week. They're playing the formidable Melbourne Football Club at the home of football, the MCG. And to the toilet clogger himself, Tommy Crawford, we're going to smash you.
Have you invited him to the footy?
And why?
Oh,
I wouldn't.
Sorry.
No, I wouldn't sit with him.
Tom. I'm in the MCC. Sorry, Tom.
I wouldn't sit with Tom Crawford. No, he'll just talk about how good Nick Riewoldt is, and I don't want to hear all that.
Sorry, Tom.
But to the Carusos and Christy Osborne and your lovely sister Belinda, you know, you're the guys I love out there. Austin, St Kilda supporters, I love you. Peace out, Tommy Crawford. Nah. Yeah, hey, so moving on from that, they do play Carlton. Like they said, they play the Western Bulldogs this week. I don't think they'll win, to be honest. Yeah. But looking at the Lace Our Tipping Comp, what's going on there, my friend? I think we have a new leader, and his name is Jamie Wallace. Jamie Wallace is in front.
By one.
By one to who?
I think Love Machine got it, hasn't he?
No, is last, mate. I'm second.
Yeah, you're second.
Yep.
Yep. And then who's the third one? One of your mates?
Someone who's third. I think he's one of your mates. And Mort Meets the Eyes fourth. So it's once again, I think this is going to be a race of two, me and you.
Yep.
So
because I think last week you were on top of me.
Yeah, and then you're on top of me. So it's good that we were able to swap it week after week.
That's what we do.
Currently I'm behind you. Maybe next week you'll be behind me.
Yeah.
Rightio, we're on the home stretch of this. We're heading into the time on session. You've got a couple of things that you wanted to point out. A couple of listener questions, is that correct? Yeah, once again every week we post out to our listeners questions that they have for the Lace Our Team, and we've had, well, let's just say some interesting ones come up. Let's go through them.
Oh well, I think it's following on from last week when we were chatting about sausages and bread. The food questions have flown in this week.
Okay.
So I've got a couple here to ask you, Peps. Yep. Ready for this?
Mm.
Is sauce kept in the fridge or the cupboard?
Fridge.
That's bullshit. Should be kept in the cupboard.
Fridge.
It doesn't run properly.
When you squeeze it hard enough, it does.
It just goes, it's too hard, too cold.
Like tomato ketchup, never let you down.
No. Next. Cupboard for me.
Next.
Also, when you pour the sauce, if it's in the fridge, you get all that like sauce crust on the outside of your bottle, right near the nozzle.
I wipe it.
With what? Your fingers?
A Wettex. I wipe the crust.
Wettex? Geez, you must be going all right there. You must be going all right there if you're starting to wipe things down with Wettex every day.
Yeah. Life's good at the moment.
Jesus Christ.
Next question.
All right. When having hot chips, does sauce go on top or is it a dipping?
Interesting concept, this one. I'm a massive fan of just drowning those babies. You drown those babies. We're not going hoity-toity George Costanza knife and fork on a Mars bar right now, my friend. We're talking, we dip those babies. You get that sauce nice and warm, and there is nothing better than seeing those, you know, getting to the lucky dip at the bottom of the pot and see if you can get a chip out, and then just licking those fingers dry, my friend.
Do you know what? I'm a neither. I don't like sauce on my chips at all. I just want hot, fat, crunchy potato and salty.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Sweet chili and sour cream. So what happens there with that one? Because do you do a sweet chili sour cream combo mixed pre-mixed, or do you do sweet chili into sour cream, or do you go sour cream into the sweet chili dip? What do you do?
It's simple, mate. The Spice Girls said it best. When two become one, they start separate, and then they just come together.
Do you go sweet chili then sour cream, or sour cream then with
sweet
chili?
I've never been loved before. Get my sweet chili and sour cream, baby.
What do you do though first?
Oh, you got to go sour cream first. You got to sour cream first every day of the week, because that creates a nice little foundation for the sweet chili just to sort of adhere itself to. But yeah, Sour cream, then sweet chili.
All right. Next question. And listeners, please also have feedback for us on these and what you think these questions are. Can you put mustard on a meat pie at the footy?
That is the dumbest question I've ever heard.
With sauce, though, as well?
No, you can't put mustard on a meat pie.
At all?
No.
Just sauce?
No. Only a person who'd barrack for Port Adelaide would do that. Do you put mustard on your meat pie at the footy?
I don't eat meat pies at the footy.
What do you eat?
I eat steak sangers.
Love snags?
I love snags. Like snag bar. I got the snag bar.
You love the snags. No, you don't put meat pie on a footy. I actually don't think I see much mustard at the footy anymore. I know you used to, because I used to run past them, punch the pumps as I was a kid and get a shot of mustard out all over the floor and run away.
Yeah, oh, typical Melbourne.
Yep, typical Melbourne. You got one more for us?
I do.
Yep.
Hard or soft tacos?
Ooh, now, this is an interesting one. Now, when we say soft, are we talking about the stand and stuff ones, or are we talking like more of a tortilla-based?
Tortilla-based.
All right, so here's my belief around the hard and soft taco. Really quickly, the hard for the mince. If it's mince meat, it's got to be hard. If you're doing something like a rump or a chicken, etc., the soft taco.
Yeah.
That's the way. You need that flexibility for the thicker meat.
See, I hard tacos are devil's food.
Oh,
I just can't eat them. I just can't eat them. Like shit just comes out. Shit comes out everywhere, Chris. Yeah, I can't eat them.
It's all the way that you handle it, my friend.
I'm not good at handling my meat like you are, obviously.
If a hard taco is like a great woman, if you handle it properly, that taste will last forever.
I like corn chips.
Okay. Okay, that's it. I think we're done.
We are done.
I think we're done. So just wrapping up, remember, the Lace Out Facebook page, Lace Out Podcast, we're also on Twitter once again. What's happening next week? We will once again, it is Easter, but we will do a recap of the Easter round and obviously what's caught our eye. A big announcement. The next episode of the Lace Out A Chat With series has been recorded. To give you a bit of an idea, I did tease it last week, but it was recorded this evening before this podcast, and I can happily say that probably the most influential player manager in the history of AFL-VFL football, someone who started the revolutionary Club 10 stable of players, Ricky Nixon, had a chance to sit down with yours truly for close to an hour and talk about all the good things in football. I know he's been through his trials and tribulations over the last number of years. And if you want to find what happened, you know, go on Google, search all that. I didn't want to go near that. I wanted to talk about all the good stuff. So we had a chat about his football career. He has some really solid thoughts about football these days, changes that need to be made. Talked about his history, how he started up Flying Start, the reason he actually got out of it, what he's doing now, and a charity that he's supporting. So I'm going to be putting that up in the next couple of days. So A Chat With Ricky Nixon, hosted by yours truly, Christopher Pepper, will be up on our usual channel. So give it a listen. It was fascinating stuff. Once again, very similar, a lot different, I must say, to the way that we did the Justin Charles one. This one was just a chat of two guys sitting in a cafe in Port Melbourne with their radio equipment and just having some banter. And I hope you enjoyed. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, I am looking forward to listening to that one.
I hope everybody, and so yeah, share that one as much as possible. But one thing I have to say, like a good interview and like a good podcast, Jamie, it's coming at you. How do you love your footy, big fella?
I love it. Lace out.
Beautiful. Have a great week, listeners. We'll be back. Go D's.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.